Greetings to you and your higher concentric multidimensional selves. My name is Reverend John M. Polk. I'm a Reiki master instructor, metaphysical minister, founder of Wolf Spirit Ministries. I'm medium and host and executive co-producer of the Quantum Holotrix, hashtag QA Matrix. Welcome to the Spaceboy Universe Network and SBUnetwork.com. I am joined by audio video engineers, technical advisors, and executive co-producers, Spaceboy and Serlana. And for tonight's show on Quantum Hologram Matrix, we have lecturer and metaphysical counselor, Kastara Parasava. And her website is awakeningawareness.com. Once again, awakeningawareness.com. Kastara was born in England, christened Antoinette Rain Helen Wilmot, and attended a private boarding school in Sussex at the age of six to escape the bombing of London after the family home was destroyed in the Blitz. She worked for BOAC at London Airport and traveled the world before immigrating to America at the age of 22. She met her future husband in Lincoln, Nebraska, whilst working as a practical nurse, and as he was a pilot for a cargo airline, was subject to annual transfers to many states. That they met the teacher, it was their awakening to their life mission. Havar taught informally every Saturday, all over the world attending. They learned about other lifetimes, life on other planets, existence, energy, the past, and especially the future and the forthcoming planetary shift that our Earth planet had to make in order to rebalance, center itself to align with the rest of existence. Especially interesting was learning the Unovich Akentu, which is spoken everywhere else in existence except here. Every individual, when created, is given a name based on the vibration and energy within, and Kastara changed her name to better reflect her true self, as did her husband. How I first met Kastara, I learned of her through a friend of mine that I met at the WBR Lake, California. His name is Gigi. He has his own show called Shift Happens. But he had talked to me. I met him there, and then he went to last summer, Kastara, and he said the one enlightening thing about Kastara is that her knowledge of these instigates, it actually helps to tie all of these loose strings together, put all the omniverse and the way that the energy flows through it. He told me all about her, and he's going to end up having her on his show, I believe, in a couple weeks. But how I met her, and I did not know this was going to happen. I was at the UFO Congress a couple weeks ago in Fountain Hills, Arizona, at the Weekapaw Resort. And this was really exciting. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Got to meet a lot of speakers and even the conference, I'm in the vendor room selling books like I did every day, and I notice that there's this this lady walking in, and she's kind of almost disoriented, if you will. She's kind of looking around. She seemed like she was lost through the main entrance. She came in through a side door, and she's looking around, and she fixates on me, and I believe that I was really the first person that she got a very good look at. And she walks right up to me, sees my lanyard and sees my name and says, I'm supposed to talk to you and I'm supposed to be on your show. So I greet her with open arms and I start to talk to her and I reach out my hands and I hold her hands, just innocent little thing, just holding her hands. And we're looking at each other in the eyes. And I said, can you feel me? And she said, yeah, we could definitely feel each other's energy, incredible exchange of energy. It felt very warm and familiar as if I had known her for many previous lifetimes. So I thought that was just incredibly cool when you have that kind of spiritual chemistry with somebody that you've never even talked to, much less seen before. It definitely means something. And she had a bag with her, and inside her bag, she had almost a manual, if you will, a three-ring binder, must have been close to 1,000 pages with illustrations, some language that we'll get into a little later with symbols. And I pull up a chair, and I'm like, here, sit down next to me. And we start talking about more anything else. She starts telling me about what's contained in this manual. It looked like she's been compiling for perhaps a couple decades. And it was very strange that this real tall, I swear he's probably a Draco reptilian hybrid or something, man, he comes up to us right in the middle when it was obvious that we were talking to each other on a personal and professional level. Her manual's wide open, and he starts putting materials right on her manual. It was very, very rude of him to do that. And he left. He said he was going to go get some more stuff to go bring us. And Kostara was like, I'm not feeling this guy. I don't like his energy. And I said, I don't like his energy either. So anyway, we kind of, you know, just gave him his stuff back and said, no offense, but you know, we're talking. But anyway, that's how I met Kostara. And then after that, we ran into each other at the experiencers meeting, which was great to listen to other experiencers talk about experiences and their close encounters. And that was really incredible also. So anyway, enough of the chit-chat on my behalf. Kostara, welcome to the show. And tell us a little bit more about yourself.
What exactly do you wish to know? Because I think you've said everything.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then let's go right into your talking points. How about let's start with number one, mission to planet Earth.
This material, yes, that needs to get out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with talking point number one, mission to planet Earth.
Right. So, mission to planet Earth is actually in now, because all of us had our training before we were born to cycle in at this time in order to wake up and remember our training and awaken others. But when we get here, we get lost and confused, because this is the way this place operates. So if that helps any, that's the mission to planet Earth.
Okay, so you said cycled in. Then the next talking point is planetary cycle, restoration of the balance. How can you explain that to our listeners?
Right. Well, that's another story which we won't get into right now, because there was an intergalactical battle a long time ago that brought this place down to the state it's in now. But the whole idea is that the planet needs to rebalance itself. As you know, it wobbles. And every planet does it in its cycling lifetime. And ours has been trying to do it for a long time. For example, the floods, Noah's Ark, it didn't quite make it. But this time it will definitely have to make it, because it's its own survival. And this is what we were trained to understand when we were incarnate in this lifetime. But we've forgotten. So this is what our planet is in the process of doing now, especially the weather, the way it is. And I do apologize, because if I cough, I'm getting over this cold.
Oh, and you know, you bring up an interesting point, is that how many different people at the Congress, at the UFO Congress, ended up sick after that conference? Almost everybody that I knew personally ended up sick. I could feel myself trying to get sick, and I'm very good at warding off colds and illnesses, thank goodness. But it seemed like everybody got zapped by the bug. And what was speculated is that something was released, some kind of toxin or something was released in the air over the conference, and the majority of the attendees and the speakers breathed it in and got sick. I can't prove that, but it seems like there's something to it with just the inordinate amount of people that got sick. Going back to the restoration of the balance, what's interesting, there's a number of megalithic structures in the desert southwest that have an opening that faces the sun on the winter solstice, December 21st of every year, the death of the sun and the beginning of a new sun after that in the cyclical cycle of the universe and this planet. But what's interesting, down those narrow corridors where the sun can only go down these corridors on the winter and summer solstice, but more specifically the winter solstice, they'll have a mandala at the very end of this corridor. And in the center of the mandala, the a sun dagger will go through the middle of it if the planet is in balance. And in the last probably 10 years or more, that sun dagger is not even hitting the mandala. It's going to the other side of it, just to show how we are in such a state of imbalance. And the Hopi called it what you call Koyaanisqatsi, which means the planet is definitely out of balance. So let's move on to another talking point. Primary master of energy, or God. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. The primary master of energy is the individual that we know as the creator, God. There are three aspects to the Godhead. We call them the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is known in other planets as the monad. And that's the God part. That's the primary master of energy. And the real God, and we're getting into some pretty deep stuff now, the whole idea of what is going on here in the planet and the world is that a long time ago, the primary master of energy went outside of existence, left the process, the physical process as we know it, and we were left to muddle along the best way we can, could. And this is what happened. We were invaded a long time ago. Now, that's another story, so we'll set it aside. That's when the Lucifer thing comes in. And it's hard for me to keep on track, so if I start wandering off in another direction, just let me know, bring me back to the main road. And then in 1976, the real God, the one I know, and not the one in the Bible, is he came back, and as you can imagine, there's a table. And it's a conference table, and it's the table of the decisions of the CEO. And you have that empty seat all this long time. And on the left, you have the people who will say, let's wait until he comes back before we do radical things. And yet, on the other hand, you've got the ones on the other side of the desk that say, we will wait, we will not wait, because he won't come back, and we'll do it our way. So this is how we've got the conflict between good and evil, I suppose. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It does. So, you know what? This was very interesting. When we were at the Experiencers meeting at the UFO Congress, you opened up your three-ring binder and you pulled out a page, and it had this secret, sacred, universal language called Ekentu, and you passed it around the room, and some of the symbols resembled that of letters in the alphabet, numbers that would be familiar to us, and other symbols represented or looked like things I've seen in perhaps Egyptian iconography, other symbolisms throughout the world. And then on your website, you actually have a video where you go through each of those symbols and say them in their natural language. Do you wanna, why don't we talk about Akentu and what can you tell us more about it?
Well, Akentu is the universal language, which is spoken everywhere else in existence except here. But we used to, a long time ago, in the galaxy far, far away, and there are still a few words that we use. Karma, karma. Ka is life, ma is teach. And let me see, amen, at the end of a prayer. Ah is total concept, which is the Godhead. Men is listen. So it says, God, listen, at the end of each prayer. And avatar, avatar is also to become, rather like a master.
That is really interesting. What are some other symbols that favor prominently in the universal language that we're not using this language because it's not available to us? But what are some of the more prominent symbols and their meanings, in your estimation, based on studying it for as long as you have?
I think the most is the sound current itself. So when we all sit in a circle and we're going to meditate and call on the guides to come through and help us, we're actually sitting there with our eyes closed and saying, assistance. So our guides hear and they say, yes. And we still say, oom. No. That's rather funny, you know, when you know what's going on at both ends. But that is one word, I would think, is, let me see, I'm looking at the chart now. Ow is another one. In the old cowboy Red Indian films, the chief of the Indians will sit and he'd say, ow, ow. But that really meant ow, which means available. I'm available. So the Indian tribes have a lot of secret knowledge, all wound up in this language.
You know, that is interesting, because I know that even the Latin language carries more vibrational frequency energy than the English language, and that the English language is more of a mutt language. And since it's such a mutt language, the conscious flow of energy through the articulated words does not carry the same amount of energetic signature that this universal language does, or even Latin, that was a more sacred language given to us by the extraterrestrials. What are some other sounds and symbols in the universal language that we should talk about tonight?
Oh, right. Well, I don't know about that. It doesn't, I can't remember anything that comes to mind right away. But very briefly, I'll read a few lines here. The language is known as Erkentu, which means the means to which understand truth. And it is a language like no other, in that it is based on and in the proper balance of vibration through and within the sound current. It was created as a patterning of sound by which to mold a transmissible idea or concept so as to enable it to be understood by any individual, regardless of his level of awareness. I think that sums it up, and I've just read that straight from the material.
Yeah, on Kastara's website, awakeningawareness.com, you can go to a particular section, and there's what you call the Star Child's Guidebook, and there's a video. It's about 5 minutes, and she goes through these symbols, and she actually pronounces them, gives you a little explanation about it. So it's definitely worth researching and definitely worth reviewing, as we are all curious minds, and everybody here for the most part is a researcher to one extent or another. Now, you know, your God-given name, I'm sorry, not your God-given name, your name that your parents gave you when you were born, and you've since changed it. You were telling me earlier that Parasava means coordinator. So can you tell us what prompted you to change your name? What prompted you to change your name to Kastara Parasava? And let's delve into the meaning of names and how much vibration, frequency, energy they create, not just here on our third density, three-dimensional plane, but around the universe.
Okay, that's a wonderful question. Well, first of all, maybe I should mention that the language also is what we dream in and what we communicate and telepathically communicate. I think I forgot to tell you that. And it's especially beneficial for those of us who channel. I don't channel, but those who do, if they're thinking in the language and hearing it, it's much clearer. But anyway, back to that question. When we are created, or maybe I'm going to stop there and switch because that's too far out. What was your question about my name?
Oh, what made you want to change it? I mean, you told me, but I'd like for our listeners to know why you changed it, and why you changed it to Kastara Parasava, right, instead of a different
name.
Okay.
Well, that's when I met the teacher. Teacher knew us from other times on another planet, and we'll get to teacher in a minute. Excuse me, there we go. And we are all given at our creation, not our birth, because that's physical, at our creation, we are given a name, which is based on the energy that we are created from at that time, and that we have the ability each lifetime to grow into that name by all of the strengths that the energy creates. I don't have it right now to read to you. That will have to be for another time. But I wanted to be called who I really am, not who my parents think I am. So we changed it, as did my husband and the other students in this circle of knowledge. And maybe I better interject there too. The teacher came directly from the Primary Council of Existence itself. We're not talking about a little green man or reptilians. We're talking about at the very top, which is another planet, which is another story. So it's all interlinked, but I do hope I'm not confusing you.
No. And real quick, getting back to Akentu, the hidden language is actually found in a planetary historical library in the Arctic, along with the Akashic record. And let's see, Kastara asked me to watch a video, and this video I watched earlier today was talking about Antarctica and how disclosure, supposedly according to this video, is going to first come out of Antarctica. And what they're doing down there is they're using steam to melt the ice, and they are finding prehistoric animals. They're finding not just woolly mammoths that date back maybe 10,000 or more years ago, but they're finding actual dinosaurs on that island continent, Antarctica, which is incredibly interesting. They also have found motherships. And this is really interesting, is that John Kerry, Senator John Kerry, went down there on a tour on Election Day that was just, you know, like less than 2 months ago. So I found that incredibly interesting. You know, how much is the secret sacred knowledge of human origins and the history of this planet, how much is actually contained on this planet? You figure a lot of it's here, and it's just kept under wrap and key, kind of like everything in the Vatican Library. But let's move on to another talking point, which is reincarnation, cycle in and cycle out. How can we better understand that?
Well, that's the whole concept of learning to walk into a physical structure. But we got it backwards here. We think we are the physical structure. But when you stop and think of it, that we are soul, we are energy, and we take on the physical structure in order to learn, grow, and become, and experience. But then here, we start to identify with the physical structure as me. Well, it isn't. It's it. So, reincarnation is a weird word. I like to call it cycle in, cycle out, for people to better understand. And this is a lifetime right now that so many have cycled in to, in the mission to planet Earth, to remember who they are, but they've got lost too. But then that's another story.
Yeah, so we were talking off air before the show a couple hours ago, actually. She said the reality before you were born. I thought that was a very profound statement, and it makes you think. That makes you think very deep into multiple dimensions. But hey, folks, we are live right now on the Quantum Hologram Matrix.
Of the world, and most countries can go back in their history and trace their origins, traditions, and religions to a creator god or an angel from the sky, the stars, heaven, or even underground from the underworld. This is the common story of extraterrestrials seeding our planet. My name is Reverend John M. Polk. I am an international metaphysical minister, a Reiki master teacher, and a medium. My book is Yahweh, the Biblical God, is an alien. The premise of my book is that there is a real God, and that Yahweh is a creator God alien who is indicating he is ready to reveal his alien origins to humanity at this time.
The Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters, or FREE, is a not-for-profit academic research institute established by the late Apollo astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell, Harvard astrophysicist Dr. Rudy Shield, and various PhD scientists and lay researchers. FREE is researching what is consciousness. In other words, what is the true nature of our multidimensional reality? By undertaking cross-comparative research on individuals that are having various types of contact with non-human intelligence. To participate in FREE's research study and to learn more about their various support and educational programs, please visit their website at experiencer.org. That is E-X-P-E-N-C-E-R RINCER.org. Thank you.
This is Reverend John M. Polk, and you're listening to Quantum Hologram Matrix here on Spaceboy Universe, SBUnetwork.com, Spreaker.com, and I am actively interviewing Kastara Parasavara, and she has a website, awakeningawareness.com. You definitely want to check out the website. There's a lot of graphic illustrations of the universal language, some videos that you can watch, and overall some basic teachings that will help to further expand our omniverse within us. So a question that came up, I'm resonating with what you're saying, Kastara, but where do you get the information from? How do you get the information? And obviously it resonates with you, but what makes you feel so positive that it is very accurate information?
Right. Okay. Well, I always say you don't have to believe a word I say. And that kind of puts people at ease. But this teacher is a very special teacher and came to us in 1976. Our structure, as you are on the planet Bioreva, and he said it would scare you, and I said, oh, I would never be scared of you, and he very profoundly said, oh, yes, you would. So, shall we leave it at that and have you ask? I didn't really see him as he really is or was. Very, very tall. The Vedar structure, which means number one structure of existence. Very dark. I remember he said, I said, well, what do you look like the other end? He had elongated eyes that were kind of kaleidoscopic. Green, wore black, and extended, rather like D.C., Alexandria, Virginia, actually. And let me go back into time there. He said that he was going to go to the mountains where it was safe. I said, why? What's going to happen? And he was talking about the Earth's changes, the planetary shifts that we've briefly mentioned. So he came out to Arizona in 82, and I followed in 83, and he formed the foundation called Universal it comes with a physical structure when we're born. And I usually try to explain it that all of the brain is in the mind, but not all of the mind is in the brain. Now, in other planets where we are born into awakened awareness, the conscious mind just absorbs everything that it's told, and it learns and grows properly. But here we are programmed from the beginning of our birth to fear this and not do this, and we're controlled, and it is programming. It's not the conscious mind is adamant that it is right, because it is the physical mind, and it knows it's going to die when we die, and it fights for its own survival. And this is what wars are from. So if we could
of the way we're taught that we are not telepathic beings, that we're not spiritual beings, that we're more mechanized and completely and totally dependent on technology. Do you think that plays into it at all?
Yes, I do.
You know, I was having a conversation earlier with somebody about how computers, you know, they do connect us, but they thwart our ascension. That is for sure. If you want to learn how to speak telepathically, using a computer every time you communicate with somebody, using an electronic device every time you communicate with somebody, you're not going to speed up the process of learning telepathy. That's for sure. You know, I've been to spirit meetings where we practice telepathy, and you're not even allowed to bring a phone into the room. And I think that's probably a very good rule of thumb. So let's do you want to speak any more on that point, or do you want to move on to the next talking point?
I'd like to touch base on the fact that when we are incarnate, by the time we're 6 years old, you know, here we've been totally programmed as children, and we shut off that awareness of who we really are, and so we join the group of unawakened individuals, and then we get to a point where we say, well, wait a minute, isn't there more to life than physicalness? And that's when we usually search for self-awareness, and that's when the journey begins, and that's what we're on now. Everyone is waking up. Waking up is a reality of
had a conversation about that on the phone after the fact, and she said, you know, when you change the pronunciation of even one syllable, even one letter in my name, it changes the vibration frequency of my name, right, and thus gives it a whole different meaning. And I was like, you know what, you're right, I completely understand that. And she said, do you realize how many people don't understand that? And she said, that's why I changed my name in the first place. To a name that would resonate with my body, mind, spirit, and with the universe more than my birth name that I was given. And so that made a whole lot of sense to me. But so here's the word, and if you could explain this to us, I think that'd be tremendous. Ankahara, is that how you say it?
Well, sort of. Ankahara. All the A's are open. As in Italian opera singing, you cannot sing ka, but you can sing ka, ah. And then, of course, that means total concept. But an is symbol.
Of that word, but it actually plays into everything perfectly. So another talking point, and this is always a touchy subject. There's a lot of schools of thought on what's real, what's not, what's the origin, who...
Alusiva. Alusiva.
What does that break down to
really,
in each syllable?
Sorry?
And does... How does that break down in each syllable? Does each syllable have a meaning?
Yeah, I don't remember all of them. Of course, is total concept. Lucy Ba would be advanced. I don't know, I've forgotten. A lot of it I've forgotten. But Alusiva, there's a whole chapter in the book, the manual, Advanced Knowledge, that tells us the story of Olu Sivar. It was a thought form, rather like the primary master of energy. It learned how to use energy, because that's what was part of its training. And it brought this whole planet down. We have three moons, actually, and we only got one left now, and it's pitted, it's damaged, and they were inhabited. And we had other planets, which it knew how to blow up from the inside out to implode. And that, as I just think we discussed the other evening, that that is the asteroid belt where the debris of the battle was put there until they figure out what to do with it. Looked at the whole mess and said, "Oh, my children, what a mess." One of the first things he did was to eliminate Olu Sivar, because he created him in the first place, or it. And so we don't have Olu Sivar, Satan, or the devil, or Lucifer, whatever we want to call him. Satan is, it's all the same thing. Is there any
research that he flash froze in woolly mammoths with undigested green vegetation in their mouths and in their stomachs, and they were flash frozen. And he said what it came from moved some of the land masses around. There was a redistribution of land and water also, and that a number of woolly mammoths and other creatures up in Siberia and Antarctica and different parts of the world were flash frozen from the ice moon crashing into the planet. Have you heard anything about that, and could that potentially be one of the three moons we had in the past?
No, but that makes sense. I mean, it all makes a lot of sense. I don't know what happened to the other two moons, other than the debris is up there in the asteroid belt. Moldek, the one we call Moldek, was actually called Moldaku and was inhabited. But it got destroyed. Let me see. Mars, Mercury has never been inhabited, but Mars was. And the Martians that we hear about, they were evacuated to Saturn. And that's where they are, because Mars is inhabitable at this time. And that's the same for the other planets. They are inhabited, who knows? So I don't know what else to tell you on that score.
Oh, yeah. Every planet, for the most part, in this solar system is inhabited. Most of the life doesn't live on the terrestrial surface, because, you know, Mars can be upwards of 70 degrees during the day, but can be below 200 degrees Fahrenheit at night, which, you know, definitely a human being couldn't live in that. So what happens? The life went underground. I know that we have DUMs, or deep underground military bases, on the moon and on Mars. We Americans do, and that the extraterrestrials do also. I also believe that most industrialized nations have bases, more specifically DUMs or biodomes, on these planets and moons as well, and that most of these celestial bodies do have life, just most of it's underground and we can't see it, obviously, if it is underground. What is your knowledge of life on other planets being under the terrestrial surface?
other than that they are, because we didn't ask questions like that back then. But I really don't know, other than they are out there. And we didn't ask about reptilians and that sort of thing. I wish I had.
Well, that's definitely a hot topic now. The Draco reptilians, basically, that have interbred with our species. And it's interesting that a number of researchers and even heads of countries, like Prime Minister Medvedev of the Soviet Union, was on air but thought he was off air. And his microphone was still on. He's talking to a reporter, and he was telling her, when he thought he was off air, how many human alien hybrids that there are. And, you know, if you cut them open, you're not going to be able to tell that they're not human, that they're human alien hybrid. And he said the number was so alarming that if the government would come out and speak of it, it would create just widespread panic. And then Sun Shi Li used to work for the Chinese government, and he has since created his own UFO network, if you will. And he basically said the same thing about China. So these kind of things, they're happening all over these countries and all over the world, and we don't even know it, that we basically are cohabitating with human alien hybrids, and they look human and we can't tell the difference. So that's something that we need to start to think about. Doesn't necessarily have to be a negative thing, although I believe that the majority of the cabal are basically Draco reptilian hybrids disguised in human containers, if you will, and that this has been going on for a long time. See, the chat room is buzzing pretty good right now. Thank you for everybody that is chiming in, as always, on the Quantum Hologram Matrix. Now, hey, folks, I could ask another question, but we're approaching the top of the hour. So why don't we do another commercial break? We'll only have one more after this at the bottom of the next hour. We're going to invite Eric, who's in the chat room right now, chatting it up, which is great. It's part of his job, as he is one of the producers of this show, and we'll have him come in about 18 minutes, and he'll ask Kastara a couple questions. So, awakeningawareness.com, metaphysical counselor, lecturer, Kastara Parasava, right here with Reverend John M. Polk on Quantum Hologram Matrix, and you're listening to the SBUnetwork.com Space Boy Universe, going into our second break. Be back in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Hello, this is Kathleen Martin, and I'm pleased to introduce to you today my new book with Stanton Friedman, Fact, Fiction, and Flying Saucers. Did you know that for years the general public has been disinformed about the reality of UFOs? There's significant evidence that the U.S. government has covered up the alien presence through misinformation, distortion, obfuscation, and ridicule. Some prominently politically connected scientists have engaged in the cover-up. This effort has been supported by a few professional writers who have successfully misled the media and the bulk of the scientific community into the belief that scientists who've been persuaded by the evidence are unscientific charlatans, fanatics, and kooks. Well, this book will set the record straight. You will learn about the history of government involvement in the study of UFOs, their findings, their decision with the help of the CIA to cover it up, and who exactly took part in the cover-up. There are many interesting cases that we've written about in this book, and loads of quotes, so that you will be able to actually follow the lead to the archival documents where we found this information. There's nothing that we're covering up. There's almost no speculation. And I think that you're going to enjoy this exciting book that the two of us have written.
Ever seen an extraterrestrial? It can be hard to believe they exist unless you've seen one for yourself. What if I told you I've seen them my whole life, but have never had a witness who shared the encounter with me? Now, what if I told you I saw four of them, two with blue skin, and there are over 20 witnesses to this CE5 event? My new book, The Blue Beings, Visitation at the UFO Conference, documents actual accounts from real witnesses, many of which have gone on record to attest to this otherworldly reality. Be a part of a quantum paradigm shift that is taking place right now. Go to johnpolkmedia.com to get your copy of The Blue Beings, Visitation at the UFO Conference, on sale right now at johnpolkmedia.com. That's johnpolkmedia.com.
Reverend John M. Polk, and you are listening to the Quantum Hologram Matrix right here on Spaceboy Universe, SBUnetwork.com. I have Kostara Parasava and her website, and you got to check it out when you have a chance. AwakeningAwareness.com, AwakeningAwareness.com, and it does talk about many things. The universal language is incredibly interesting. You want to find the video where Kostara actually sounds out the symbols and tells you a little bit about them. Very interesting, and it expands our universe just by opening our minds to it. So we're off air talking just now and decided that we were going to go in the direction of the New World Order. So what are your thoughts on that, Kostara, and what direction do you believe that it's going right now?
Down. Let's put it that way. The New World Order is the where did it start? Okay, let's backtrack. And I do apologize for my coughing as I'm getting over a cold, but also I'm experiencing some resisting energies that do not want this knowledge to be revealed.
Well, and we were just talking off air about what's going on, and there's a direct correlation between sensitive topics and genres and bad connectivity and signal issues. But let's not talk about that too much. So, so let's get back to New World Order. It's going down. What's bringing it down? What force is can you identify that's bringing it down? And bringing it down ultimately means it's going to hit bottom and then come back up again. So what force is going to bring it to the bottom, and what is going to bring us back up again?
Well, the primary master of energy returned from outside of existence in 1976, as I said, and is taking over the mission to planet Earth. And it's, we're in the process of cleaning up the mess. They can run, but they cannot hide. This means the cabal, the dark side, I call them. They originated from the Lucifer thing, the Lucifer followers, because they like control. I never could understand why anyone would want to control others when they need to control themselves. But that's what we're dealing with. Remember the company, which is the existence itself, and the CEO, when the chair is vacant because the primary master's energy is back in it and is running the show, and they are on their way out, but they are going to really fight hard to because they're programmed, they know no other way to be in control. And they're not going to go quietly. But they have to move over because the light is here now, and they represent the darkness. And they, being the Lucifer followers, or Satanists, pedophiles, all the nasty things that we can think of, and they are not light and love. So when God is for us, who can be against us? And God is back, the real God. And there's no way that they can win this battle because the light will prevail. Does that help?
Oh, absolutely. I was talking to my mom earlier about the same thing, and our light energy, especially when you put light workers together, even if it's on an internet radio broadcast like we're doing right now, but you put a lot of light energy together and it makes the dark energy weak. The dark energies, they're very powerful in themselves, but they can't be around the light energy too much because our light energy rubs off on their darkness. Light illuminates the dark. Light will create shadows in the dark. The dark just prefers nothing but the solace of the shadows and pitch black. But where there is light, there is absence of dark. Unfortunately, you can't have the dark without the light. You can't have the light without the dark. But the cyclical cycle of the universe and this planet, it's getting tipped back on the other side of the fulcrum. The teeter-totter is going from down to up to down. And it's necessary. It's very much necessary for us if we are going to achieve enlightenment and ascend to the next dimension, which I believe that's what we're in the middle of right now. And it's not an easy process, but it will benefit everybody on this planet once we finally get there. Do you have any other thoughts about the New World Order and our new beginning?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, when Havar came physically here, that was the new beginning. And the dark side knew who he was and what his mission is and agenda. And, of course, they don't like that because they really had no resistance. They just had a clear road to do what they want to do, which is control, have complete dominance over the world. And I still don't understand why people through history have wanted complete control.
Well, you know, what, especially men, but what do men with lots of money and a lot of power, what do they want more than anything else? They want more money and they want more power. And it just feeds the greed. It does. And, you know, it's really what's going to be make them subject to their own demise. The greed will eventually karmically come back and bite them. But they're living with blinders on and they don't really care who they step on as long as they get richer and attain more power, which is pretty sad that's the way that it is and has to be. We were talking earlier about Akashi or the Akashic Records, and what I really enjoyed about my Reiki training is, especially when I became a Reiki master, there's a number of symbols that we use in Reiki, and they all have different meanings and they all have different purposes. For example, there's what you call the Deko Myo, and that's the master symbol. Anyway, you'd have to go online to look these up. And then there's what you call Choku Rei, which means increase power or turn the light switch on. Then there's Sehei Ki, which is cleansing, clearing, purification, and protection. And then there's what you call the distance symbol, which also refers to the Akashic Record, and it's called Hon Shazay Shanin. And this is an ancient Tibetan Buddhist healing modality that Macau Yasui went up into the mountains of Tibet and lived in a cave and supposedly received this information from an enlightened one that lived in the cave. And to me, that's an extraterrestrial. And he processed his attunement, what you call an attunement, which is the raising of your vibration to a higher frequency, for 21 days. And then he came down from the mountaintop enlightened, and his mission was to teach Reiki. And Reiki, if you break it down into Rei and Ki, Rei means universal spirit, and Ki means energy. Put it together, universal spirit, energy. And I've always been totally fascinated by Reiki. And there's a lot of other healing modalities out there. From what I understand, most of them absolutely work if you are a faithful practitioner and you are the right conduit for that universal energy, whatever you want to call it. And there's many forms of it, many modalities. But the Akashic record is definitely a big part of Reiki. And let's talk about the Akashic record. So Akashi, what does that break down to, each syllable, and what does each syllable mean?
Well, is total concept, or number one. Ka is life. Akashi is a derivative of energy. And also, I would like to mention, when you said healing, that we cannot actually perform 100% healing unless we're operating from the true self level. If it's just operating from the lower conscious physical mind, then it's not going to be as powerful as if it was from the objective true self level, which is why it's so important for us to understand and attain that. But to get, I'm going to read this because it's, I prefer to read from the material any time I can so I don't get it confused and
okay,
it comes
do.
Straight from the source. Utilize on a non-physical basis and in all physical places, with the exception of this one, meaning planet Earth, is the universal language known as M2, providing commonality of communication. There is a composite of universal records, which is available physically elsewhere and to all on a non-physical basis, with of all major occurrences and the understandings for all concepts within the process of existence. That which you refer to as the Akashic records, known elsewhere as Akashi, is but a part of that composite of which you are now merely accessing a fraction, which is then being here, which understand neither the concepts nor the language. I think that's much better than I could have explained.
No, that was very detailed and broke it down physically and metaphysically in definition. So that was really good. So, you know, we all have what I believe the Akashic record coded in our DNA. And there's a lot of different spiritual and healing modalities like quantum theta healing, which teaches you how to dig into the codons. Your DNA is broken down into codons in three sets of four. And so the 12 strands of DNA, if we can learn how to tap into our own body, mind, spirit, and tap into the 12 strands of DNA that make up the set of three broken into four equaling 12, then we can actually learn how to read our own Akashic record from our DNA. And I know I did not explain that exactly perfect, but I do believe
I just, sorry, I unfortunately some of your discussion tonight has been cutting in and out, but I've been trying to follow you. Where are you? Can I ask, what country, what state are you in currently?
Well, I'm in a state of confusion right now, but Arizona. I'm from
Arizona. Okay, that's what I thought you said, because I was fortunate enough to go, obviously, with John to the UFO Congress. I think I might have met you, but I don't recall. I apologize.
I think we did.
But
we did.
I did get a chance to go to Sedona and Cottonwood and some of the other cities in that area. So what I wanted to ask you, since it sounds like you're just this, an amazing wealth of knowledge and awareness, can you, let's say you meet somebody, for example, and you sense that they're on this path of awakening, and maybe they've been going through this awakening for a year or two, but you sense that they still need guidance and help. What sort of suggestions and tips could you give to somebody like that?
Well, I really don't think it's up to me to tell them, because it's their personal journey, but I'm learning to be a good listener. And usually a person will just open up because they're so unused to someone who will listen, and it all falls out. And they answer their own questions, but then I might say something to reassure them that they're on the right track. But awakening comes from within, and we look outside, you know, externally. The truth is within all of us, within. I also should have mentioned, when John mentioned the healing to Eric, forgive me to butt in like this, that in the language are mantras called Varnika, which is thought inwardly project, and it covers everything from healing to the bones, everything, which I haven't learned to do yet because it's so vast, and I'm also operating on my lower mind, the conscious physical mind. Which is difficult for me to get back up on the platform of observation and objectivity, which the true self, you as true self, are. So, sorry about that. I rambled off a bit, didn't I?
Sorry, that was the purpose of the question, to get you to ramble, so I don't have to talk as much.
Right.
Now, do you, in Arizona, do you have... sometimes you have gatherings, or do you get together with people of like mind and sit and talk about these things?
Yes. Yes, we do. I usually like
open to the public or to me, maybe?
Not yet. Not yet. Because what I have, the knowledge, it scares people. It scares the conscious mind. I have to be careful.
Well, I'm scared of what's happening in this reality that we appear to be living in now, so I'm all open to anything that's not like what we appear to be seeing now.
Well done. I think everybody's sort of into survival right now is what is going on with our government and the world.
I stopped watching the news, then I stopped watching all the stupid shows on television, then I just went to sports, and then I got kind of bored with sports, so now for 2 months I've watched no TV, and, I feel better, I feel like I'm less confused, I'm less distracted, you know, it seems like that information that's constantly being thrown at us, whether it's in the news or even on Twitter, you know, people are always posting things in Facebook and things of that nature that's not always accurate information, but it sounds like it could be true, so people run with it, and then before you know it, there's rumors being spread around that are completely false and misinformation and disinformation, and people get distracted by that, it seems.
Yes, and therefore they don't question who they are and their part in this mission, you know, because they've gone to sleep. They are operating solely on the physical aspect, the ego self. And the ego self is nothing more than an undisciplined child, and it has temper tantrums and all sorts of things that they need to grow up and wake up, look up. So actually, I did teach a class at the library, and it was quite successful. People really started to wake up and learn from it. And I haven't continued it, and I must. I must get back, because I need it more than anything else to learn the reality of you and the OAT and the conscious physical mind. And it's a devious little critter. It really is.
Well, I mean, we need people like you, you know, who have been understanding this. I mean, I don't know your history, but how long would you say approximately you've been in this state of consciousness where you're awakened, or you're awakening, you're evolving? When did this first start for you?
I always knew as a small child that I had a very important part to play in this lifetime. I didn't know what it was, but it was bigger than I was, and I was part of it. So I just followed my instinct. One of the first things I did, stood up in England and said to my friend, "I'm going to America and Canada. Who's coming with me?" And I turned around to myself and I said, "I am." It was as though a council was guiding me. So that's what I've always worked with and listened to, that I suppose physically I learned when I met the teacher, which was 1974 in Washington, D.C. Excuse me.
Can you say who that was? I don't know if you did already. I apologize if I missed it. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah. Thank goodness for water.
Kaskara,
take your time. Just the name of the teacher. I might have missed that if you mentioned it earlier.
Was the Habar.
Oh, Habar. Okay. And I mean, forgive my naiveness. Is this a living human being, I'm assuming, or is this a spirit guide that came to you? Or I don't know anything about this. I apologize.
Hang on. Let the throat settle down.
Okay, take your time. I'm sorry.
We'll give Kaskara a minute to get her breath back. Eric, so we were talking earlier about how many people got sick after leaving the UFO Congress, and that it was rumored, and a number of people that I've talked to that did get sick said that they thought there was some kind of deliberate chemtrail action that was deliberately sprayed over the Weekapaw Resort to basically attack us attendees, vendors, and speakers. Almost everybody that I know that went to that conference ended up getting sick, with the exception of myself and a couple other people. I could definitely feel some illness trying to creep up inside me, and I just did everything in my power. I did Reiki on myself, ate clean and green as I possibly could, meditated very, very hard, and I could feel my glands swelling up, and then right when I thought I was going to get sick, I didn't. But, I mean, you were laid up for, what, close to 2 weeks?
Yeah, I was feeling really bad for at least 3 or 4 days. And then I drove to Cottonwood and hung out with Javi at his Awakening Awareness Center. I can't think of the exact name, but I know it had the words Awakening and Awareness in it. So I actually felt better after a few days there. And then I drove back to California, and then I started feeling better, and then I got in the car and drove to Shasta, and then I got to Shasta, and then I started feeling sick again. I don't think I really recovered all the way, but I still don't feel fully recovered. I feel like just so much, you know, who knows, the chemtrails, whatever, just so much has happened in my life, as you know, especially in the last few weeks, that I just need to breathe and do some meditating and just try to get grounded and centered again.
Kaskara, are you feeling okay, my friend?
Yeah, so I had a coughing spell.
Okay. If you're back with us, Eric, ask her like one more question. We have about 4 minutes
before the last break. She was at 1974, and when she came to Washington, D.C., I believe, and then I asked her about the person. Was it a Havar? Was it a living human being, or was it a spirit? I'm not sure. I didn't hear that earlier. Are you there, Kassar?
I'm sorry about that. I wasn't paying attention.
Okay. The person you met in 1974, was that a living person or a spirit guide that came to you?
Oh, a real living entity as a walk-in. Male energy who came directly from the primary council of existence. That's pretty heavy. And
walked into you personally?
What's that?
That person walked into you?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to ask my friend to turn the volume up.
Okay. Well, sorry. I'll turn it down. Yeah. No, he's asking if where Havar.
Yeah, I know. I can't hear him half the time.
There you go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I can hear you a little better now.
Okay.
That's better, yeah. Now, what was your question?
I'm trying to understand the concept of walk-in as far as how it affected you, your experience, because if there's time, I have a follow-up question after that.
Okay. Well, Havar was a walk-in of a male energy who came directly from the primary council of existence, which is from Vairava. And Vairava is the planet that oversees this whole section of existence, which is called Ataviha. And we won't get into that, but we'll get back to Havar. And my friend Nancy was also my teacher in a previous lifetime, so you can start to connect the dots here. She was Nefertiti. And my very dear friend and my mentor, my teacher, and was the vehicle for Havar to walk in to her structure.
Mm.
And yeah, so because he was a little different where he's from, and he thought that it was the best way to interface with people so he wouldn't scare us. Okay. Now, you might ask me who he is. I'm going to leave that up to you.
How about this? Why don't we go into a commercial break? This will be the last commercial break. And then, Eric, why don't you start with that question on the other side of the commercial break? So this is Reverend John M. Polk with At Awakening Man. Eric as co-host for right now. And Kassara Parasav, awakeningawareness.com. You are listening to the Quantum Hologram Matrix right here on Spaceboy Universe, SBUnetwork.com. Last commercial break. We will be back in just a few minutes.
Quantum Hologram Matrix Elevator is a space-time vehicle. Where can it take you, you may ask? Anywhere you wish to go, if you know how to operate it, metaphysically. The Quantum Hologram Matrix Elevator goes up, down, side to side, backwards, and forwards, but also can serve as a sipapu, or portal of transformation and transportation, that forms a rainbow bridge to any multidimensional or terrestrial destination in which you desire. Tap into your universal God consciousness to open the elevator doors and welcome to your multidimensional existence inside the Quantum Hologram Matrix.
The universe. universe, explore the universe, explore the universe, spaceboyuniverse.com. Spaceboy. And Sir Lana. Spaceboy. Spaceboy. And Sir Lana. Spaceboy. Spaceboy. And Sir Lana. Explore the universe with Spaceboy and Sir Lana on spaceboyuniverse.com.
Hey, Sir Lana!
What?
If Spaceboy Universe was cheese, would you eat it? Come on now, it's a simple question.
Maybe?
Spaceboyuniverse.com.
There is a new pain elimination center in San Jose, California. Our method works surprisingly well because we heal the cause of the pain. Please call us at 408-253-6577. That's 408-253-6577. Or email us at angelhealing777@gmail.com. Call now.
This is Reverend John M. Polk, and you are listening to Quantum Hologram Matrix right here on Spaceboy Universe, SBUnetwork.com. And I have a very an interesting guest, and her name is Kostara Parasava. And once again, her website, awakeningawareness.com. And a lovely young lady that she brought with her to the conference, her name is Joan. I got to meet both Kostara and Joan and talk to them at some length. And Joan, while we were during on the commercial break, she had a really good question that's not in my talking points, and I thought, well, let's let Joan ask this question. So good friend of Costara's and actually her personal IT director for tonight's show. Joan, go ahead and spin that question at the audience and at Kostara for us.
Okay. Hi, John. Thank you. It's more of a comment. I've known Kostara for quite a number of years, and when she started talking about Havar and explained things, what really struck me was that she has a photo of this lady, her friend called Nancy. She has photos of Nancy before Havar entered her structure, her physical structure, and afterwards. And it's very interesting when you see the photos of a normal woman, looking woman, so to speak, and then the photo after Havar entered the structure, it has a whole different sense of a feel to it. I mean, you look at it and it's a male energy in the structure. It doesn't, even though physically you look at it, it's the same, quote, structure, it looks different, and it's just very, it strikes one very strongly when you see it. So it's a very visual. Do you, I think you have a photo of Havar on the website. Did we put one on?
Yeah.
So if you go to the website, you can see what I mean. It has a very male energy to it. And I was not around at that time, at least not in Washington, D.C., and I would have loved to have met this this entity. Yeah, it just was really nifty. So I've acquired quite a lot of knowledge and listening to Kostara over the years. And she always corrects my pronunciation of her name.
I think that's a brilliant observation that you bring up, Joan, is that just because, you know, on the third dimension where we're talking and existing right now, I believe that all of us have had a walk-in at some point in our life, and that we're walked into more than we even know or realize, that not all thoughts that we think are actually generated by our own minds, that often they are placed there, or we are influenced by external energies more than we would know. But the point I'm bringing up is that just because I'm a male does not mean that a female, extra-dimensional, extraterrestrial, some kind of conscious energy, a female energy can enter a male's body, and vice versa. A male energy can enter a female's body. And of course, a male can enter a male, a female can enter a female. I think that there's a gender bias when we open our minds to the fact that we could possibly have a walk-in. First of all, walk-in often has a very negative connotation to it. It's not always that way. In my case, I experience walk-ins, and sometimes I can't tell. Often I can tell because my thinking completely changes. And it's very important to start writing whatever is happening in your mind. Write it down. Often automatic writing, when you're really flowing like a stream of subconsciousness or consciousness, and it flows real easy, an ebb and flow of love, light, energy, or even like the wellspring from which we flow. When we flow like that, often we've been entered by something benevolent. And when you feel like you've been entered, surround yourself with the God light and know that you are protected. And if you do that, more times than not, you're gonna invite loving, benevolent energies and conscious energies from other dimensions to enter you and place thoughts in your mind, and even sometimes even take you over, like Havar did to Nancy. So I found that very interesting. And the point is that just because you're male doesn't mean a female energy cannot enter you, and vice versa. So any more thoughts on that before we move on, Kostara?
I was just going to say, as I understand it, Havar came to her infrequently in the beginning, and then she gave her permission for him to take over her structures. Correct, Kostara?
Yeah, there's a little bit more to it than, but that's another story for another time. There's a little bit, but no, I understand. And that's good. That's a good, you know, anything to challenge your own conscious physical mind is part of the learning, yeah, and part of the knowledge. Okay. There is more to that story, but we'll leave it at that, I think. I, for one, John, am a transceiver, not a channeler. But because of the abuse that the dark side are very good at, I am protected from being a transceiver. And the transceiver is someone that speaks through you. You know, when you're awake, you just change. You allow that. But it's not a good idea because so many are imposters. So it is always decided that I don't use that ability at this time. But Joan of Arc was a transceiver.
You know, that's a brilliant story that you bring up. Archangel Michael descends from the heavens and hands her a sword. She's 17 years old, and she's leading the French army, which is all males. I mean, that was unheard of at the time. A teenage, yeah, woman ruling, not necessarily ruling, but she was basically the commander-in-chief of their army, and they all followed her. And she was, you know, an absolute, you know, magician with the sword also, that, you know, she led by example. Everybody followed her because she was a tremendous leader. But I guess it implies that she had a walk-in that gave her that incredible energy. And then pair that with an archangel, or what I more affectionately term as the archalien, since they all appeared in physical form, hand her a physical object, a magical sword. And during the Inquisition, they were really questioning her hard. They almost killed her, but they were swayed from not killing her, I believe, because of that walk-in energy, repelled the Inquisition away from her. She was about to be considered a heretic and perhaps burned at the stake or hung, and they actually let her go, which was very curious in itself. But something else that I wanted to mention was, we were talking about healing and mantras, and one of the healing mantras that you mentioned is Vanika, of the sound current. Vanika of the sound current. I love the term sound current. So explain to us the sound current and its spiritual aspects, and how the healing mantra Vanika plays into it.
Well, everything is created from the sound current, because the sound current is created by the primary master of energy who created everything. I don't really know an awful lot about it other than what I read in the manuals, and I don't read them enough. But the Bartnica are very, very powerful, and I have a dictionary. But the, as I said before, while the true power behind the Bartnica, the thought inwardly project, is the energy, the unadulterated pure energy that is directed to the individual to heal. And I don't know how to do that properly other than get on the platform of observation and become my true self, which I have had. I have had that experience. Only though when Havar was here under his guidance, where you actually flip over from non-physical, from physical to non-physical, and that the conscious physical mind, you're totally balanced, and that, not the other way around. I'm not explaining this properly, whereas you're operating from inside out, not from the outside, and everything is accentuated. Peace. You are a presence. And I had that for 3 whole weeks. But then I had to go back to the way I was, because that's something I needed to learn and work through. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. It does, because, you know, we make sound through our voice box, and it comes out of our mandible. It creates a vibration frequency, but it also creates a sound current, which scientifically you can measure it as a wave. And these waves, they have a physical quality to them and a metaphysical, non-physical quality to them. And there's definitely energy in the spoken word, like going back to our names and how to pronounce them and how to pronounce them correctly. Because if you pronounce a name a certain way and then you pronounce it incorrectly the other way, you've created different energy, and it affects the person that you said it to, and it affects everybody around you. So there's definitely energy in the spoken word, whether it's physical or non-physical. But we have about 14 minutes left. One of the talking points you brought up is Star Wars. So I'm interested in what direction you wanted to go with that, Kostara.
Well, why was Star Wars so popular? Okay, it's because it was an actual truth. Well, not the story itself, but the actual truth was involved in it. And that triggered the memory of these people who have had the training before they were born, to which are millions of us throughout the world, to remember why there is a mission to planet Earth, because of the intergalactical battle. And we are here to get our planet, our beloved planet, turned around and to be healed, because the primary master of energy is back in order to do that. So this to me is why, because we loved it, because it represented truth to us, a certain memory. And there's a lot of truth in Star Wars.
There is. And, you know, so you talk about walk-ins and downloaded information and knowledge. There was a Star Wars marathon on TNT. Yeah, sat home and watched the whole thing. I mean, going three sequence with, let's see, when Anakin was a little kid, I think that was The Phantom Menace, where Liam Neeson played Qui-Gon, and Anakin was like 5 or 6 years old and was beating people in races as a little kid. And then even the Clone Wars, and it was very interesting in the Clone Wars. let's see, Obi-Wan, who was played by Ewan McGregor, goes to these tall grays, if you will, and they were talking about, and this was back in the 90s, I think, when they made this, they were talking about how they were tweaking the DNA and genetics of this new stock of clones that were meant for war. And they took their a lot of their wanting to fight against authority, they took that out of their genetics. And these aliens were talking about how they were making and hand sculpting their DNA to make these human-like clones subservient to their masters. And I thought that was incredibly interesting. And it, if George Lucas just dreamt this up without any kind of outside intervention or influence, then that's the most incredible thing in the world. So you got to think that George Lucas was in touch with the other side and received quite a bit of information from perhaps a walk-in or maybe even a council of extraterrestrials. What do you think about that particular thought, Kostara?
I love it. I really feel the same way. Also, the reason Star Wars is so real to most of us is that there was an individual, Darth Vader, not by that name, but symbolizing that. Let's backtrack to the Emperor. That was the Lucifer thing. Okay, so we've got the Lucifer thing, and we've got this individual who is really a good fellow, but he gets in the influence of this Lucifer thing, the Emperor. And I jokingly say that I married him. Sometimes I think I did.
Really?
I married Darth Vader. But there's a lot of truth in it, and there's also a lot of story.
And yes, so was the Emperor real? Well, no, but yes. You know, is the Force real? Is there the good side of the Force and the dark side of the Force? Well, no, but yes. All of these different concepts are definitely parallels to reality. And like you said, was there a Darth Vader? No, but there was definitely a Darth Vader figure. Was there an Emperor? No, but yes, there definitely was a Sith Lord who played the part of the Emperor. Was there the Emperor turning young, innocent Anakin to the dark side and swaying him away from the light? Well, yes, things like that happen. You know, you have a young Padawan that shows all this tremendous potential. You're a dark overlord. Of course you want to bring him over to the dark side so that he can benefit you and your own selfish agenda and motivations. But another point of interest that you bring up is centering. And we all have a concept of centering for ourselves and how others could potentially go about doing it. But what are your thoughts on centering, and how do you do it personally to ground yourself and find your center?
Right. That is, you sit quietly or stand quietly anywhere, and you visualize multicolored lights above your head, and the rod of energy, which we are connected to source, all of us, everything, comes straight through the center of your head, the top of your head, and goes down to the actually only five chakras, and they don't call Havard didn't call them chakras, he called them energy centers, and all the way down. So this rod of energy comes straight through and down, right down to the ground. Because if you didn't have a center at your feet, you would fall over. You would wobble. So you do have one. So this rod of energy comes straight through, down to the bottom of your feet, and right back up your spine, up the top of your head, and it comes out like a sparkler all the way, all this energy. That is your protection, and at the same time, it is also clearing all of your centers from any blockages. There's no such thing as negative energy. Energy is energy, but it's how we use it that it changes. So that's the way I do it. And it takes a little while to do. There's a lot of outside confusions. But once you do it, you're centered. You're operating from within. And it's very, very peaceful. And we need to do more of it. And that is what I call real centering. You silence the conscious physical mind and you don't take it anywhere. You leave it at home.
You know, what's amazing is that that's very, very similar to the way I do it. And we have not talked about it together just to see how each one of us goes about it in our own way, but very similar to the way I do it. And so there's got to be something to it. There's a lot of ways to center yourself. You know, key components involve breathing, doing a chimney sweep of the chakras, the light and energy. But all those concepts play into my concept and resonate with me very, very well. We have just a few minutes left. So Arzel, guardian of the knowledge, Viareva, did I pronounce that correctly?
Viareva. Viareva, I'm sorry. Planet. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Please tell us more about Arzel, guardian of the knowledge.
Well, he's the one that we all should call on first. He listens to our prayers. He's always there. And he is the one who will delegate us to a certain individual if, because we wouldn't know who to ask. We don't know the spiritual hierarchy. I actually have a list of them. But, and he's the one that you call on in anything, in any emergency or just to call on him. And he's always there. There's also an individual called someone we think is Jesus, but it isn't, called Undaivasya. And he's the one that circles around in a spaceship. He flies alone. And he protects this whole solar system. His name is Undaivasya. And he's another one that we can call on when we need help and protection.
So I would have to assume you've called on him before. What do you say to call to him? And what has he done specifically to help you and protect you?
Oh, I get into all sorts of scrapes because sometimes I go where I shouldn't be and then I holler for help. And he's the first one because he's a warrior. And I think we're all warriors when we're in the mission planet Earth to get this planet turned around the way it was originated. I don't know. Yeah, I just holler for help and it's always there.
He's always there. That's always something to think about, is that help is always there. If we think help is not there, then help is not there. But if we open our minds and hearts to the fact that there is help out there and allow us to receive the help, that help can more easily flow into us and other people as well. So, Kostara, we have just maybe 2 minutes left. Can you tell us more about your website real quick and any speaking engagements that you're doing? I know that you were doing free classes at the local library there for some time a while ago. Give us your information so that people can contact you and research you and your website and even Havar.
Okay, well, mainly it's just me running with the ball because when Havar left, We all have to go our separate ways for our own safety. And it's just me. And this is a little heavy for most people, but this knowledge is part of our disclosure. And I'm sort of waiting in the wings to get this knowledge out. And I'm grateful to people like you who are helping, because this knowledge belongs to the people. It doesn't. I'm just the messenger. I don't really have anything to do, because it's just me trying to do all of this. So I'm really looking for a team of people who will wake up, see what we've got hold of, and pitch in and help get it out there. I don't know what else to say. Other than I have his books, but there again, most of them need publishing, and
that's
I have
okay.
one that is called
Gateway.
Okay. Anyway, it's all on my website.
Okay, so once again, folks, Kastara Parasava and her website, which includes a lot of what we talked about tonight and even more, is awakeningawareness.com. So thank you so much, Kastara. I know you're hacking halfway through it, and I know you've been under the weather. We were going to do the show last week. You didn't feel well. We waited till tonight, and it was probably written in the stars to do it in tonight anyway. So thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you, Joan, for helping out, helping Kastara get Skype all set up and everything too. Very much appreciated. So once again, a special thanks to Kastara Parasava, her good friend Joan, who helped on the technical end tonight, and everyone that chimed in on the chat tonight. And thank you all for a mind-expanding escapade that stretched the boundaries of human consciousness. Hologrammers, please follow me on Twitter at Reverend Polk and my show at QH Matrix, hashtag QH Matrix. And on Facebook, follow me as Marcus Polk, not Reverend Polk and not John Polk. And don't forget, my books are available on johnpolkmedia.com. That's johnpolkmedia.com. 10 p.m. Saturday is Space Boy Universe. Explore the universe every Saturday night with Space Boy and Serlana. And we'll see you right here next Wednesday, as we'll be interviewing Zuni Elder Clifford Mahudi, who is a lifelong experiencer and seer into extra-dimensional realms and has open communication and contact with the star people. And he's also made multiple appearances on Ancient Aliens. Now, as we collectively circumnavigate the outer perimeter of perceived reality in the quantum hologram matrix, be a hologrammer, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Thank you, John.